Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Ryan Scott. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, we had the pleasure of speaking with Yasir Y. Alaman, MD, an assistant professor in the Department of Thoracic Head and Neck Medical Oncology and the Division of Cancer Medicine at the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center. Dr. Alaman highlighted the results from a Phase 2 study that evaluated the clinical efficacy, resistance mechanisms, and effects of insertion location of poziotinib efficacy in EGFR exon 20 mutant non-small cell lung cancer. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Alaman expanded on the key data found with the use of poziotinib in patients with EGFR exon 20 mutant non-small cell lung cancer.
Thank you so much again for your time today to speak on some new research you're doing that has just been published. Could you start by providing some background on poziotinib and what has previously been seen with the agent in preclinical models?
Thank you very much. Poziotinib is a covalent tyrosine kinase inhibitor. It does inhibit EGFR and the other RB family. And in preclinical models, we did observe and publish in the past that it's particularly active in a subset of EGFR mutations called exon 20 insertions, and also in a subset of HER2 mutations, which is again HER2 exon 20 insertions.
And then looking specifically at your study, what was the rationale for investigating this drug in the Phase 2 study recently published in Cancer Cell?
So this study aimed at translating our preclinical findings into a clinical trial. The study included patients with EGFR exon 20 mutations. The vast majority had exon 20 insertion, and two patients had exon 20 point mutations. And the aim was to identify the clinical efficacy of poziotinib in this subset of lung cancer patients measured by objective response rate.
Could you discuss the study design as well as the patient population that were enrolled?
The trial was a Phase 2 trial. It's an investigator-initiated trial, and it enrolled patients with metastatic non-small cell lung cancer. It did have originally two cohorts. The first cohort, patients with EGFR exon 20 mutations, and the second cohort with lung cancer with HER2 exon 20 mutation as well. What we have reported in the recent publication is the first cohort, which is patients with EGFR exon 20 mutant non-small cell lung cancer. It's a single arm study. All patients were treated with poziotinib at a starting dose of 16 milligrams daily.
Can you walk through the key efficacy findings from the trial, which have been published in the journal?
So the key finding was the objective response rate, which was 32% confirmed objective response rate in the intention to treat population per the investigator. And there was also a blinded independent review of the response rate, which is also came consistent at 31%. We observed a median progression-free survival of 5.5 months and a duration of response of 8.6 months.
Can you expand on what was observed with the agent in those with near-loop versus far-loop mutations?
This was one of the key findings of the study. We wanted to understand better why some of our patients did really well on the drug while others progressed quickly. And one of the things that we looked at, patients with near-loop mutations versus those with far-loop mutations. And patients with near-loop mutations, the response rate was 46%. While in far-loop mutation, the response rate was 0%. So not a single patient responded in the far-loop mutation. We also looked at median PFS, although statistically it wasn't different between the two groups, but there was a trend towards better outcome in those with near-loop. We also looked at PFS rate at 6 months and at 12 months. And again, we observed that patients with near-loop did have better outcomes compared to those with far-loop. We did confirm this finding in preclinical models using BAF3 cells, And we observed the same thing, that patients with near loop mutations are more sensitive to poziotinib. And we concluded that the insertion location impacts the efficacy and the activity of poziotinib in these mutations.
How did EGFR exon 20 insertion location affect receptor conformation and drug binding?
This was one of the key findings of this study, that the location of the insertion impacts the efficacy of poziotinib. We did find that the location of the insertion at the C-terminal end of the C-helix influences the orientation of distinct residues of the P-loop that stabilizes EGFR TKIs and therefore influence the drug binding affinities. Our findings thus support that the structural mechanism for the differential sensitivity of poziotinib in near-loop mutants compared to far-loop mutants. And the importance of this finding is that it may be applicable to other drugs in this space. So I do believe that other drugs in the exon 20 space should be also investigated for this finding, and perhaps future clinical trials should take the location of the insertion into consideration when a clinical trial is being designed.
Do you want to add a little bit about what was learned about acquired resistance mechanisms?
In terms of acquired resistance, we learned that exon 20 insertions when treated with an EGFR TKI do develop resistance similar to classical EGFR mutations, where resistance is mediated by two key mechanisms. The first key mechanism is EGFR-dependent mechanisms. So for poziotinib, we did see that one of the EGFR-dependent mechanisms was acquired T790M, which affects the binding of poziotinib to the receptor. We confirmed that T790M drive resistance also in preclinical models. We also observed EGFR amplification as a possible resistant mechanism to poziotinib as well. In terms of EGFR independent mechanism, we did see other non-resistant mechanisms to TKIs such as MET amplification. We also observed epithelial mesenchymal transition as also possible resistant mechanism to poziotinib.
And now looking towards safety, was there anything you wanted to add here?
The safety were kind of consistent with what we see in patients with treated with EGFR TKIs. So all the side effects were related to the wild-type activity of the drug. The most common side effect we observed was diarrhea, followed by skin rash, followed by paronychia. So all of these side effects are related to the wild-type activity of the drug.
Are there any next steps for this research that you'd like to highlight while we're speaking today?
Now there is already a multi-center trial that is going on. In this multi-center, one of the key issues that this subsequent trial is trying to address is what is the safest way of giving this drug. It sounds that when the drug is given on a BID dosing, it may be far better tolerated for our patients, and that would translate hopefully into better efficacy. So I think the next step is just to see what would be the final outcomes of the study at the BID dosing and identify the appropriate dosing for the drug.
What would you say is the clinical significance of these data for this population?
So I think the key message here is that this drug is safe and active, and we need to figure out what's going to be the tolerable dose for our patients. The other very important finding, in my opinion, is that the insertion location mattered. It does affect the drug binding. It does affect the receptor conformation. And this is something that needs to be taken into consideration when designing future trials and also analyzing the current trial being carried out in exon 20 insertions.
Thank you again for your time. As always, it was a pleasure to get to speak with you.
You too.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of Onc Live on Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and at OncLive SOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you like today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.